This episode of Fear the Boot deals with issues of morality and sometimes egregious crimes in the context of role-playing games. We felt it was important, though sometimes unsettling, to discuss these topics frankly. However, the content may be upsetting to some listeners. We want to be sensitive to the concerns and situation of each of you, so if you're likely to be bothered by this content, or you listen to the show in a public setting, please exercise discretion. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy the show. It's Wednesday, December 31st, 2008, and you're listening to episode 130 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 51 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot, the only show in podcasting that understands the time cube theory. My name is Dan.
My name is John.
My name's Chad, and I'm really sorry I introduced you to Time Cube.
I'm going to read all of that.
I'm sorry you introduced him to Time Cube,
guy's
too.
Brilliant.
I'm sorry he knows Time Cube.
Hey. Watching someone discover Time Cube is like watching them discover Tub Girl, but for your brain. Who are you, person
Time
across
Cube.
The table?
We're going to have Time Cube reaction
videos.
Hey,
it's me. I'm back. It's Pat.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, actually, Pat.
I'm waving at the mic right now because I know you can all see it.
What's wrong with your hand, Pat?
Well, we don't want to talk about it.
No. Yes, we do. We do.
Pat's wearing a splint or a wrist brace?
Yeah, it's a wrist brace. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, actually the same night that John got rear-ended. Oh, I'm sorry. This is not an explicit
That's a spoiler, dude. But yeah, I got rear-ended too.
Yeah,
put like $2,000 of damage on my car, but her insurance will pay for it. So
but
all
your brain is
well.
Is okay.
It was a bad Tuesday.
He got in a car wreck.
I went out to get the mail and fell down on my way to
my torts exam. It's like, am I going to tell this girl that I'm studying personal injury and taking my final when I get out of this car after she hits me? And I thought, nah, that would just make her worry.
Didn't you also fall on your ass while you were barbecuing in the rain or something?
So two Tuesdays ago, I fell and came down on my wrist going out to get the mail. But 24 hours prior to that, I was trying to grill out on my back porch, which was also iced over.
Nice.
And I ended up falling, trying to go down the stairs. And I basically gave myself a mild concussion because I don't remember falling. I just remember standing at the top of the stairs thinking, I have to be careful. And the next thing I remember was laying on the ground and my head hurt.
So, yeah, these incidences are not pure freak accident or coincidence.
It's time.
The roads and sidewalks had basically been run over by a Zamboni that day.
Yeah.
And we all suffered.
It's the truth.
I was fine.
Me too. So,
do you drive anywhere, Dan?
No,
we don't have a job outside this house, and we all come to you to do the podcast.
I honestly go to the games on Sunday.
Dan looks out the window every once in a while and just then quickly closes the curtains.
I think the only time Dan actually wears pants is 80% of the time when we come over.
I believe that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with not
that's
wearing
not to
pants.
Say that's 80% of his pants sharing. That is to say that there is 20% of the time we're over and he doesn't even have pants on.
That's right.
Okay,
that's
good. Exactly just to clarify that.
Yes. So, Pat, talking about concussions. You had a little experience at the game on this Sunday.
I did.
Tell us a gaming story.
You mouthed off to me and...
I what? Yeah, I did. I did something bad to Dan and I paid the consequences.
Hey, that's great. Next topic?
No, I think what we were going to talk about, actually, in the Skies of Glass campaign that Dan's running for us, this is actually our second role-playing session in where we're, beyond character creation. And things are sort of getting off to a slow start. I kind of rolling just because of, well, it's
Dan's a horrible game master.
No, let's face it. That's the way our group is.
Yeah.
We take 20 hours to plan how we're going to buy sausage.
Right.
But anyway, so we finally got rolling and actually we got into the action of things. And right at the end of the night, my character actually ended up taking a pipe to a guy that was coming up, that was sneaking up on us. With my intention was to just, conk him on the head
just
and knock him out. To brain him, knock him out, and that would be that. But I fell into a trap of, being a lazy role player, so to speak, I didn't specifically say what exactly I intended to do. And so I made the rolls, and I rolled the damage. No, it was a good roll, and my character is actually strong, was one of the stats that he's got. So I ended up hitting the guy, and I hit him in the temple, and I killed him. Now,
ow.
To put a and it bothered me. Now,
yeah, to put the why it bothered
well,
me.
In most systems, you have to specify some dual damage or even use a weapon that's just for that. But continue.
I agree. You're right. And that's why I started to balk whenever when it first happened. I'm like, dude, I just wanted to knock him out. And I realized, no, I'm not going to do that.
I'm a strong guy, and I hit him in the head with a pipe as hard as I could.
I'm not going to be that. You know.
He could be dead.
Yeah. Right. So, and I just, I let it stand. But I'm going to back up just a little bit to sort of explain a little bit as to why this bothered me, so to speak. Our four characters that we've got, or actually our core three characters, were kids. We're 17, 18-year-old kids in this post-apocalyptic setting. And we're living at home with our family in a small town in, you know,
it's
basically
like
small town Missouri.
With a bomb.
Yes.
And
only farming.
We have decided we're tired of the hometown life. We're going to start off on our own as mercenaries, you know, make a new life for ourselves. Well, at the moment, though, we're still at home where all of our families are. And we've got this. Our first quest was basically to take care of this problem that involved these other people, one of which is now dead. And but the problem is these kids were actually family of the mayor of the town that we live in. So all that together means however we do this, we've got to do it in such a way that we don't basically
kill anyone with a pipe.
We don't actually make anything bad for ourselves or our families. So all that's going through my head of, I've got to figure out how we're going to take care of this whole problem with these guys, hopefully not killing them, but because I don't want our family, I don't want my family to catch crap for whatever has happened. So that is what's in my head. And so then on Sunday night, when all of a sudden I do this, the first real action that I have had in this campaign, the first, you know, thing that I do, I take a pipe and I kill the mayor's nephew.
Yeah. You murder a 17-year-old
boy. I did. And, you know, yeah.
Well,
so this is not something, and it was situational too. Well, he was actually coming at me with a gun, but he wasn't pointing it at me to shoot. But had this been in a combat situation where it was kill or be killed, I still would have been upset about it because still, oh, shit, our families are going to be in trouble now. But it wouldn't have been as bad. Whereas this guy was just coming over and boom, I just beamed him out of the blue and killed him.
What I found interesting about the whole situation is that in past games and all the games I've played with you and then the ones you've told me about, you play high adventuring, daring do sorts of guys.
Yeah.
People who just are ninjas or they kill people without remorse. Other people's lives are in your hands. Mm-hmm. And it's not any kind of quandary because that's what the game is like and that's what your characters do. But I think this was the first character that you've played where you're not a killer. Or you've never killed anybody before. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's like that's a big thing. And it was really cool to sit there at the table and Pat rolls the dice and Dan describes what happens and Pat's like, wait a minute. And then you think about it and you're like, oh my God, I just murdered somebody.
Yeah.
I
think
really
it's great
disturbing.
when games do that because for so
really
many systems, unless it's going to take away our paladin abilities, we really don't give a crap.
Yeah.
And you know, it matters. I mean, it's bad to kill people. It hurts when you get shot or stabbed. You don't want to be exposed to the elements for hours. All these things that, don't bother to think about, but are there.
Well, therein lies the discussion topic. What's strange about this circumstance is the fact that in this game, Pat almost murdered someone. I mean, it was really more than killing. The guy hadn't done anything hostile yet. Probably was going to, but
he had a gun, but he wasn't shooting.
Yeah, he was just carrying.
He didn't even know what he was
there. They had set a trap for us. Now, that's the other thing.
Well,
they had set a trap, and we stumbled into it, and we were dealing with it. But, yeah.
Well, the point being, though,
I just don't want you to think, like, I've got this guy that likes to go out and, like, you know, kill old people on the street.
Well,
that's equally boring.
Let me put you this way. I knocked out my two guys.
Yes, I know. No, you didn't.
But later.
Well, what you're really describing is, oh, I'm Chris, by the way. What you're really describing is you played your character. I mean, you thought about your character and you played him appropriately.
But here's the thing, and here's what really surprises me about it. It's not the fact that if you're really into the character, presuming that's your style of role play, if you're really into the character, this kind of thing should bother you all the time. Yet most of the time it doesn't. That even people that prefer more in-character dramatic games, they still have all kinds of horrible moral acts they do on a regular basis, which are simply glossed over. You do a dungeon crawl, you're going down to murder a bunch of creatures, possibly conscious, self-aware creatures, who have done likely nothing of consequence to you, simply to take their stuff.
Yeah. Wait, I got an argument against that particular aspect, but please finish your point.
Well, let's modify that. You're playing Zelda, you go into somebody's house, you break all their pots and take their money.
Yeah.
I mean, these things are just totally accepted in these contexts, and that goes for role-playing games too. But what's your counter, Chris, that they're bad and that they're threats and so on?
Well, it does say evil on their sheet.
Well,
so,
it's not even that. It's not even the fact that they say evil, but it comes from a, really what would be a cultural perception of that. You go into your standard fantasy RPG with the perception that humans are regarded as people, elves regarded as people, dwarves regarded as people, and so on and so forth. But anything beyond the races that you're allowed to play in the game, anything else is not regarded as a person. Not really even regarded as anything above a beast. Even if they're organized, they're still considered
See,
beasts.
I disagree with that because
they're playable classes.
Well, even if
so
they're
I
not,
think that right
even
there,
the rules and stuff aside, and the playable class stuff aside, I can go into a farm field and I can start with it. I can take a gun and I can start shooting Farmer Brown's cows and kill them. They're beasts. They're not human.
Right.
People will look at me and they say they will. I mean, society will arrest me and judge me and punish me.
Farmer Brown is pissed off.
Yeah, Farmer Brown's pissed off based on two things. One, that I've destroyed Farmer Brown's livestock and his livelihood and all that sort of stuff. And two, I just psycho murdered a bunch of animals. Maybe I'm a little disturbed.
That's the thing. Animals. That's the key word right there. And going at it from the idea that all creatures should be treated equally and should be regarded humanely, that perception doesn't exist in the game, and it's not even put forth as a belief system within that game.
Yeah, typically not. I mean, the classic point is the paladin. Does the paladin spare the goblin children, or are they just such non-entities, so innately evil, that the virtuous thing to do is throw them into the wood chipper?
Well, let's not get caught, though, here down a rabbit trail of D&D, because I'm not just talking about D&D.
No, we can go all the way back to Tolkien, dude. Yeah. I mean, orcs are just bad. They're bad elves. Well, that's it.
You can go into science fiction, too, and you encounter an alien race, and sure, they exhibit signs of intelligence, and they have spaceships and all that kind of stuff, but still, you don't look at them as being human.
Well, let's say even you're playing a modern-day game, one that's set right here in 21st century Earth, you still play with the same kind of morality. And here, I don't think, I'm not sure I buy this whole cultural structure thing anyway, but even if I give you a pass on that one, then you certainly can't claim that about a modern-day game.
Sure,
because
you can.
You're operating within a...
Sure, you can. Absolutely.
A modern-day game fighting what?
So it's acceptable.
We don't have orcs. What are you talking about?
What you're trying to tell me is that certain ethnic classes look at other ethnic classes as worthy of...
Killable?
No, look at them as
we
worthy.
Call that wrong.
They look at them as being worthy of life. That's why you have things like the ethnic cleansing and all this stuff. They don't even look at them as human beings, so that's why they treat them them.
Okay,
and
so
this
wait,
is
let's say
day.
Your dog. Let's say your dog had a gold piece in his mouth, and if I came into your house and murdered your dog and took that gold piece, you'd be okay with that because it's not a human being.
No, because I would be Farmer Brown. Now, my reaction towards
you've taken
you,
the dog.
My reaction,
away.
My
That's
reaction towards you is,
yeah.
is
not that you're a psycho dog murderer,
and not that you've killed the dog for the dog's sad sake. You've killed the dog for Chris's sad sake.
Yeah. So maybe if you replace the dog, it would be okay.
I'm not sure this is going anywhere I can ascribe to. Wow.
No.
Yeah. I don't agree with that.
Well, I think all that Chris is asserting is that true blind hate. Exists in
no,
this setting as it may in others.
Precisely, and I don't have a problem with that, but the analogy we started off with, and this is my fault probably, because I took this in a wrong direction.
But I'm loving the direction it's going.
I went to orcs and undead in a dungeon, which is probably a wrong way to go.
Especially Tolkien orcs, where it was good versus evil, and the evil would never be anything but evil and had to be wiped off the face of the planet.
Right, but
the evil started as good, because evil was a corruptive rather than a procreative force.
Yeah, but that was a boring book.
That was a really boring book. But it lasted into Lord of the Rings. Anyway, Daniel.
But in this case, we're not. Well, you know, the analogy didn't start off with orcs in a dungeon that are raping children in the nearby town. It started off with a boy in relatively modern day Earth who really had not yet done anything to the person that was confronting him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, once again, yeah, okay, we can. I don't know if I agree with the extreme where Chris is taking this, but the point being that if you have someone who is okay with killing and robbing and doing all these kinds of things without some really good motivation to do so, would we say the person's a murderer? I don't know, maybe not, but we'd certainly say there's something wrong with them.
I think that morality and ethics when it comes to a role-playing game doesn't apply. Simply because when you have the story, you're asking yourself, well, what kind of story is this? Is this a, swashbuckling adventure where we're playing pirates on the high main, and yo, we're looting and pillaging and killing people who come after us, and yo ho ho, and it's a fun adventure. Murder's still wrong. We all agree here that murder's still wrong, but when we're playing the pirate game, we do a little bit of hand waving. We're saying, well, we're playing pirates.
Well,
and I don't want silly
the rules
morality
can still stand hard.
Way.
You can just play a character who flouts or actively
yeah, exactly.
perverts them.
It becomes part of the backdrop, because if you don't, as a pirate, if you don't kill the British soldiers or the British merchants as you're robbing their ships, you can't really be then considered a true pirate, because yes, you have to do some right. looting, and you also have to do some killing, because you're a pirate. That's what
yeah,
you do.
You're not abolishing the notion of crime. You're just playing criminals.
What I'm saying, I'm not even saying that. What I'm saying is that when you're playing that kind of yo-ho-ho swashbuckling adventure game, you really don't want to get bogged down in morals and ethics.
Right.
Absolutely.
You want to swash your buckles. And if you're playing a game like what we were playing on Sunday, where it's a very realistic and very gritty game, it's really cool to actually look at the morals and look at the
right.
ethics and look
yeah.
at the motivation.
I think the more
absolutely.
Fantastic, the stupider that gets. Yeah. Well, and I even think second and third edition DMG, yeah. there was an explicit warning that said, okay, this is Circle of Good, this is Circle of Protection Evil, this is a Holy Avenger. Don't think too hard about from what you derive morality. The Sword of Good just works against orcs, and
the sword
so
of good
on
is
and so forth.
Because
right.
it's the Sword
and,
of
yeah.
Good.
I know, and I didn't want the topic to go there, which is why it's probably my bad, because I didn't want to get caught up in the old, tired alignment debate thing.
Yeah.
That's not what the topic was about, and I it's my fault for taking it there, because I made the mistake.
But we're not
of
talking
saying,
precisely about
but
that.
But my point here is that when
we were talking about alignment to begin with.
All right, no. Let's put aside D&D, let's put aside mm-hmm. fantasy, forget alignment. What I'm talking about is in a game that has our cultural context, that's set, and assuming you're not doing a dungeon crawl, you're doing a game that has more in-depth role-playing, that our characters that we play rarely shock us. I could sit you down for a movie, and if there's a scene where some guy very graphically takes a hammer and bashes in a three-year-old boy's head, you would be shocked in the seats.
Yeah.
Yet we do things just as bad in role-playing games all the time, and it never crosses our minds. And if you're playing a Diablo-style dungeon crawl, yeah. where there's either no morality, or the morality is so black and white that you pretty much have a free pass to whatever you want to these creatures, I understand that's not an issue. But if you're playing a game that's supposed to focus on those tricky issues mm-hmm. of personality and morality and things like that, getting out of our homebrews, certain types of World of Darkness would be a good example of that, where you're really supposed to be struggling with that beast within.
Mm. And Vampire, yet, that's the whole game.
Yeah, precisely. And yet, so many times when we play these games, we just gloss over the most horrible, over-the-top actions.
Well, you know, I think Chad really kind of hinted at it when he was talking about the pirate. It really sounds... It's really comes down to a matter of scale. You know, your pirate game is, you know, by its nature, somewhat grand and sweeping, because pirates are grand and sweeping. But in Pat's particular case, that's intimate. That's a group of three or four people, and that's it. I mean, and it's focused in strictly on them and their own personal development and growth as individual characters.
I think that it's also situational, too. Like I said, this situation was, I would call it extreme. I'm not saying that I started playing this campaign thinking, oh my gosh, my character, he's young, he's not killed anybody, he's not going to. Most role-playing games you're going to come across, I won't say all because, you know, I don't want to get yelled at, but most role-playing games you're going to play, you've got rules for using weapons and weaponry, yeah. and it's basically
90%
it's
of the rules
centered
are
around exactly it's centered yeah. around you're going to use these weapons to do what? Not just look pretty. You're going to use them against
something.
Your adversaries, yeah. you're going to be killing people.
I think
killing
that the
things.
Vast majority you know, of role-playing games, and again, like Pat, not all of them, of course, but I think a vast majority of role-playing games out there give you the strong indication, maybe without telling you, but give you the strong indication that you are supposed to be creating a character who has stats that are geared to combat, who picks out equipment that are tools of killing or equipment to get you to the killing, that give you copious amounts of pages, charts, and rules mm-hmm. to kill, and then gives you folios of things to kill.
Yeah.
I don't think that's obviously not what you don't have to do the Eric Cochran to zombie joke, but I do think that there's definitely within role-playing a strong sort of leaning towards violence, killing, and murder.
You know, the funny part about that is, Chad, is that if you created a character that didn't pick out something from those pages and pages of weapons, and you just put your character out there with just his stuff as a player, you'd be scared. I'd be scared. If my character's in a game and I'm not armed, it feels very odd, and I feel very nervous, and I feel very, actually, quite defenseless. It's interesting experience.
I think it's fun as hell. I mean, this empath character I played online couldn't fight, and I thought it was great.
Yeah. I think that's really, really cool. And it of course, depends on the genre.
And I wouldn't do it every day. Yeah, this is not my addiction to failure speaking. It's just a roleplay tech.
What I think a lot of this comes down to is the setup that is the groundwork that's laid between, you know, by the GM and even to a certain extent the players. I made a specific point. I think I've even mentioned the story before. I made a specific point in my last campaign that I ran. And I laid out a little bit of a little section on law and order and how law and order and crimes were looked at, or certain crimes were looked at within the campaign world, especially when you got into areas outside a certain realm's jurisdiction. If you were out in the wilderness and you caught a criminal, this is generally regarded by society what your character is then authorized to do. Now, unfortunately, when I brought up something to actually play off to those rules, the players really kind of forgot about that reference that was made, and then got into their own internal debate about it, which still was good. But without laying some of that groundwork in there, you almost kind of set their morality level at whatever it is for present day, and you don't kind of gear them into your campaign at the time or your own campaign guidelines. They did. They got into a serious debate about it, and after the fact, I pointed out to them, I said, guys, I actually laid out really what your guidelines could have been because I wanted to create a specific encounter occurrence, and it didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to, but I was okay with that because the resolution they still came to was still very interesting and it kind of got us to where we needed to go. But I do think that if that is going to be an element in your game, if morality kind of comes in there, you should really lay some of that stuff out. Lay that groundwork. Put it out there so that the players are aware. You know, you go back to the paladin thing and killing the goblin children. I got into a huge argument with our GM when I was playing a paladin character. And we had a prisoner orc, and I wanted him killed as a bound prisoner. My paladin.
Oh, who hasn't had a prisoner orc at some point in their D&D games?
You all get into that debate, and he absolutely he wouldn't let me do it. And
might not be a prisoner, he might not be an orc, but everybody's had the prisoner orc debate.
Everybody's had that, and we argued and argued and argued about it. I told him how I felt from the perspective that he laid out in the campaign setup, that this is obviously how my character is going to think about it.
Can't you tell him it's your character and he can do whatever he wants to you, but that's what you're doing?
Hey, I did. Yeah. He just didn't listen. He just didn't want to. He wanted to keep me on the train, and I just didn't want to be there.
What a crappy GM.
That's a bad GM.
See, that's what I hate about that whole, well, I don't want to get into the alignment thing.
Hey, Pat.
Yes.
What was the resolution then? Or has there been a resolution to what happened? Because,
no,
I mean, I know you felt that way, but how's it going to carry on from this point forward then?
Well, now, ask me next week, because literally that basically happened. Dan goes, well, this looks like a good place to stop for the night.
Do you always do that? Because I always do. I love nothing better than to stop on a cliffhanger. Well,
I love it. My old players hated me for that. I love the cliffhanger.
I loved you for it, Chad.
Thank you,
actually,
John.
I will say this. It was a very high tension moment, and we stopped it, and now we've got a whole week to think about it. We all do. I mean, everybody, including Dan, as to whatever's going to go on. But so, you think about it. Whereas if we'd played on for another half hour, we probably would have resolved some things, or we'd have gone on with what are we going to, oh, crap, what are we going to do now?
Yeah,
and it would sort of lessen it.
Well,
so
you have to
I'm
be pants pissing anxious for the next game, or else your players don't show up.
Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this, too, because, like I said, this is situational, and it's because I have family. I have a family stake in it, and I've already thought about this. I thought, you know, if it wasn't for my family here, and I was just some guy that was dropped into this town, and they said, this is the problem, and this had happened, but I had no other ties to the area.
You can skip town as easy as you came.
Exactly. I don't think that my character would. I think he would have been like, oh, wow, I didn't really mean to do that, but okay, happened.
Moral failure always has a bit more sting when it's going to hurt you.
Like I said, it's my family that I'm most upset about, because I'm like, I don't want anything to happen to them. If something happened to my character, that's fine. I can deal with that. It's just that when you go back to family, that's the tie that I have, and that's one of the personal
things. Well, let me ask you guys this. What kind of games do you prefer? Do you prefer the games where it's you kind of do a little bit of the moral hand-waving, and, you know, it's all about derring do, and you kill some people, you kill some people. It's all about the adventure. No, it's not really about.
I like the hard line. One of my favorite things to experiment in character is why certain people think they're justified in doing certain things, or are not justified in doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I always play that to the hilt, especially if I'm in a paladin or thief type scenario. Mm-hmm. I get into the paladin scenario way more often than I get into the thief.
But I actually that's just what I like to play with. Because I've obviously played the paladin before, and I think taking it even away from the, it's not so much the alignment thing, it's just the, when you think of the way like a paladin should act, I mean, they should be sort of the good guys, and they, you know, not to do overtly wrong things, and beat their protectors, so to speak. We had situations where I remember that my paladin character actually enacted a peace treaty between humans and gnolls, or is it gnolls or gnolls or whatever they are?
Gnolls or
they're gnolls, you know, of all things, you know, we
could have magic bullets.
You could have waited in and killed them, but you know, it's just a thing of, I don't see the point of this. Let's see if we can coexist peacefully. And that's kind of what I did. And it wasn't because I'm like, oh, I'm a lawful good character. It's just because I felt that it was the right thing to do. I'm like, why should we slaughter these people? They're just, they've got their whole society here. They're just like, us, just except living. They're furry. Yeah.
Yeah. I like both. You know, I can't say I like this one or that one. It's like saying you prefer sci-fi or fantasy. Well, I like them both. And because
I can just tell you I prefer sci-fi, but I get the analogy. Well,
there's a lot of mental challenge and a lot of self-exploration that you get from the dramatic kinds of games you don't get from, for lack of a better phrase, simpler games.
It
doesn't mean lesser, right? And I've had some people say, well, you know, why can't you just have fun with the game? Well, to me, doing the character exploration is fun. However, having said that, there are some times where I think we take gaming a little bit too seriously or try to make too much of a science out of it. And I really do enjoy just...
I think we've tried to make too much of an art out of it. People accuse us of being failed script writers and wannabe actors and all this sort of crap, which is
us
part of the
role
fun.
Role players, not us being fear the... Well, but the point being, though, that I still enjoy things like Temple of Elemental Evil. I still enjoy Diablo.
And I bought the computer game port for $50. Right. It was like 2 weeks later, and it was so bad.
And I don't mean that... I heard it was bad, yeah.
Oh, it was bad.
And I don't mean that I enjoy this as some kind of guilty pleasure. No, I genuinely enjoy it. Yeah.
No, I'm not guilty about it.
I like playing games sometimes that don't have...
It's fun to exercise the math.
Yeah, well, that, and also it's just fun sometimes just to kind of have a... I don't know, a no strings attached ROM. Yeah. Just go out there.
And if you're playing Diablo, the morality of killing the satyr things is stupid to argue about. And I think some people would say that it's stupid to argue about any sort of tabletop kill fest like we're doing right now.
Well, I prefer myself. I really enjoy the character depth exploration. Mm-hmm. I mean, even I played World of Warcraft for 2 years. Which is nothing more than an automated dungeon crawl. I mean, it has the barest...
It's also a social networking utility. Come now.
Was it that? No, it's not. You know, I got barbecues.
Vent's a social networking utility. Forums are a social networking utility. The game itself...
Dude, you've always got to have the fireplace or the card game or the whatever going on to sit around and shit with people day in and day out.
But even like World of Warcraft, like I said, where it's an automated dungeon crawl... Loved it, played the game for 2 years, have no regrets of playing it. I came up with detailed sort of stories for my character. I didn't play on an RP server, but it was just things about, why is my character doing this? Why is he here? You know, I didn't take that to the creepy degree where, you know, we're facing the boss monster and then people ask me, why aren't you casting any spells? Yeah. Because I'm morally against killing this guy. When I was a child in this land and this and this, like, no, fireball, 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 fireball.
In a place like WoW, I can't even start. Like, my WoW characters had and have no story. The universe is such a playground as opposed to a world that trying to reconcile the fact that my shaman is an actual person who's going back to Molten Core every 5 days because all the monsters are just back now. It just would break my brain. Yeah. You can't do it.
I'm like Dan. I prefer both. I can get just as much enjoyment, and I got tons of enjoyment when I did Living Greyhawk, you know, which is basically just you go through, you kill things, you collect their loot, you get the cool little adventure records or certs, depending upon what year you played, and you get all these wonderful little items, and you go on to the next event, and there's no continuity whatsoever except for a thinly veiled storyline. But there's no real continuity. But yet, still, at the same time, it's a hoot. It's fun. It's just a good thing to do. But to me, yeah, the character exploration stuff, to me, that's really, you know, everybody talks about, I like the crunchy things like that. To me, really getting into character and doing character exploration, that's a crunchy thing to me. And I love seeing exactly really what this character is all about and what they'll do when confronted with certain situations. And on the GM side of things, you know, on the other side of the screen, basically, that's what I like to throw out at my people. I'll certainly give them combat because I know everybody likes to roll dice. But at the same time, I love throwing little moral dilemmas at them, you know, and I want to see that character development because as a game master, I get a lot of enjoyment out of watching them wrestle with various dilemmas that come at them, you know, so I really do. I like both.
And that's something I guess really is kind of my, I guess my premise to all of this is that I don't think you have to spend a game sitting around moralizing. If you're doing Temple of Elemental Evil, it's really kind of dumb to have everyone stop in the middle of the area of fire and start doing Shakespearean monologues and why it hurts their feelings to step on bugs. What baffles me is that in games that
only the druid
where we are doing that kind of role playing, we are having that kind of drama, but then it's kind of the same thing that, well, it doesn't count because he's not an NPC and that means he's not a real person. So it's okay if I just rob his ass of everything he owns and kill him just because he got in my way.
And don't forget the torture. That's the one thing that really bothers me.
Torture?
Yeah, I don't really like the concept. I'm kind of anti-torture in as a person, but...
gee, me too.
Yeah, I think most people are, hopefully.
I'm going to go around and sing, yes, I am.
But
there goes the waterboarding bonus episode.
Yeah. So the I really have found that in every single group I have ever played with, and this is a diverse group of people, right? This is people, some people have never even met each other, and it's just lots of different kinds of people, lots of different kind of games over many, many years. Without fail, every single group I have ever been in, whether it's a really deep role-playing Shakespearean pseudo-intellectual masturbation exercise, or it's kill and loot and steal their boots, there's always been torture. At least in one, not in every game, but there's always been a thing where some NPC has some information or whatever that we want, and we take them and we start doing horrible things to this person. And it always bothers me,
you know,
no matter what game it's in.
The one and only game I can remember,
that would seem like cheating to me,
in recent times doing torture was a Hunter's Hunted game. I was not GMing, I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a vampire.
Well, you take pliers to a vampire, that's just good, plain, clean family
fun.
Oh,
we started, pliers was where it started. It was not where it started. It got really graphic. I'm not going to go into it. It got really graphic. But I guess the thing, the reason I was doing it, what motivates me to do that kind of thing in a lot of games, and you're right, I mean, from a moral standpoint, it's kind of ridiculous, assuming once again you're having that kind of game. But it seemed like a railroad thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
This NPC knows what's going on. But the game master is not going to let us hear what he has to say because that would give away too much of the plot.
So you got to work for it.
Which to me just pisses me off because it's like, no, don't do that crap. Let me get the result of my actions.
Well, I think there's a case to be made for finagling information.
And so
I know you certainly don't have every single one of your NPCs who knows something just dump it on the PC.
No, but if the PCs do what it would take to learn it, I will give it to them no matter what it does to the game.
Via coin or pliers.
Yeah, they will get it. And so
that's fine.
We kept escalating because it's like this guy knows stuff we need to know, not want to know, but the way the plot was going, we needed to know. So a lot of bad was going to occur if we didn't find it out. But the GM was being railroady and wouldn't let us hear it until we reached the right plot point.
Okay.
And so we set up a tent in the backyard. I had a mansion this game, and thus began the torture. And
I just don't get it. It's just weird. I think it's more me than it is how I view games, because it's like I've seen so many role-played out torture scenes, and it just seems so pointless. I mean, I've seen people who I know are totally against torture and think it's morally wrong and all this sort of good stuff, like we all do, because we're all good people, kind of like get this childish glee at breaking fingers in a sort of Rorschach-esque way. And it might fit the game. It might fit the thing, but I don't know. It really bothers me for some reason.
It bothers me too, because, like I said, it always seems like cheating, because you fall into, you almost fall into two camps where either The victim either becomes a squealer and reveals everything or becomes the psycho devotee and says, I'm never going to talk, as you're ripping off its fingernails, right. You know. And then
how does a GM balance that?
Yeah,
how
if you're facing a true railroader, they're not going to stop.
Yeah.
It's hard to conceptualize the pain and at what point this victim would talk.
Does the GM say, does the GM say, okay, we're 5 minutes in, they're doing this horrible thing, and this horrible thing, so I'm going to give it a difficulty modifier of this, okay, I'm going to roll this dice, okay, he's going to break in 5 minutes, give me 3 more minutes of torture description. And it's like, come on!
Yeah. You can put it in, but just be like, okay. I would say, all right.
Torture him.
Do you torture him hard or easy?
Yeah, that's what I just
If you
like.
Do it hard, you roll to try to not to kill him. If you do it easy, you roll for him to resist, and you do good or you bad, and then you do the next scene. Yeah.
You know, and really when it comes down to it, I mean, you could try and do the flip side of that where you could have the victim play up, you know, play to the mercies of the characters, you know, and pour out the sob story. But odds are, if you have players who are going to resort to torture... that type of tactic really is not going to work on them. And so you really, really have no recourse in a certain sense with that.
That's something interesting. Have any of you ever played a character who the character has been tortured? Not in their past write-up, but in the course of a game, they get captured or something by the bad guys and they get worked over.
No.
No, not that I remember. No,
I would trust very few really? Players to be like, okay, I break.
I lost a pinky from it.
I did.
Permanently. On that character. At one point, I got captured by the enemy, and they were trying to torture me for information, and it was the GM that did it. The GM was torturing me, and basically it was, you know, tell me or lose a finger, and I didn't tell him, so he cut my finger off.
Wow.
And it was on the character sheet. He was real big with everything, you know, if you, any disfigurement you have, any scars, whatever, it kept it on the sheet.
I guess
so
that's
I
one
am
way.
Missing a pinky. That character does not have a pinky.
I guess that's
and
one...
And it pisses me off, too. I really, and nothing is bothering me anymore. Like, God... I don't have my pinky. I was thinking, I'm going to find myself a damn cleric and grow the son of a bitch back.
Regeneration, dude.
Exactly.
I guess that's one way a GM or GM, DM, whatever, can quote unquote torture a player effectively, where he's looking at him and he describes the scene and this, and he's like, are you going to talk? And then you meta, it's like, if your character doesn't talk, I'm going to maim you.
Yeah. That is a good point.
I had a game master do that to me. Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience having your character, because you really don't have much control, you know, in certain situations like that. I don't mind right. getting the battle scar if I'm in a fair fight, but when I have a character knocked out and treated like the basement of Zed's pawn shop, which he was, and he wakes up with 2 scars on his face, there's nothing I can do there except be really mad at the game master.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is an authentic experience, if you think about it. But, you know, I think, you know, because I can hear a lot of people saying, well, that's just not fair. I'd never let my DM do that to me. It takes my control of my character away from me. You know, valid point. But if your character tortured somebody in this game or the last game, doesn't the DM have kind of fair rights to grab your character and torture him?
As the biggest advocate of congruous fairness here, I'd actually be okay with that. I wouldn't be happy if it happened to my character, but I'd be okay with the concept, because as long as the GM is giving me the fair result of my actions before, during, and after, that's the way life goes.
I was dumb enough to get captured.
Now, if I roll the dice well enough to where I slip the bonds, and he's like, well, no, you don't slip the bonds, now I'd call BS.
Yeah,
but true. If he puts me in there, you know, that fairness has to swing both ways. That,
or he ties you to a chair and you know you can slip the bonds, but he says, you know, there's 5 big guys in here. Sure, you can slip the bonds, but it's going
really
to be up
to
you. Do you really want to? I mean, they might work you over a little bit, then let you go. But if you try and get out, they're going to kill you.
Right.
But it's your call. I mean, you could think of something.
Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with
that. Continuing fairness to it, where you say, I'm going to take my chances and slip the bonds. And, okay, you get beat up and you get maimed and get put in the hospital and you lose an arm or whatever. I don't think you have a right to bitch. And, yeah, I think as long as it's fairness, that's weird. You know, that's a very interesting thing. I have a real problem with party members and my own characters torturing NPCs. I really don't have a problem with my own character getting tortured.
See, I'm the other way around. I don't have a problem with either. I mean, I'm not pro-torture. I'm not some kind
yes,
of like
you are.
Sick Chris Hussey sort of, it's okay to kill my dog, it's not a person sort of thing.
Well, see, now, this is what happens. You guys, you know, I get in there and I get in with the serious part of the debate, trying to explain something, and then I get painted as being the racist dog-killing asshole.
That's because you are the racist dog killing
didn't call you a racist this time, but now that you mention
see,
it.
See, this time. See, exactly. That's my point.
All right. But here's something, another topic I want to kind of segue into off the torture thing. The selective morality of role-playing games. And this is, I think this says a lot about the people come to the table. That in most games, what is probably the worst offense you can do against a person, to kill them, is generally shrugged off. But things that fall well shy of that, to torture them, to rape them, these are the kinds of things that most people would be aghast if they occurred within a role-playing game. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating rape and torture in role-playing games. I'm just making the point that I've always thought it was strange that...
One reason why I think that might be, Dan, is I think it is a, you know, and this is maybe getting into a bit larger picture things, but I think it is a cultural, and maybe this is even more of a U.S. thing, but it's a cultural desensitizing to violence in general. Violence is an acceptable form of entertainment, you know, in almost any television show, you know, even cartoons.
Well, and I think violence has always been an acceptable form of entertainment. I mean, you look at the Roman Colosseums.
Absolutely.
You look at
Punch and Judy and
the first battle of the Civil War. People came out onto the hillside to watch it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a misnomer for people to say, oh, well, our society is becoming very, you know, numb to violence and stuff. No, I think this is how it's always been, and maybe slightly varying degrees, but in different forms.
But in the case you cite rape, you know, in the case of something like that is really it viewed and portrayed as a real personal, you know, quote unquote invasion, if you will.
Yeah.
And
it's terrible.
Yeah. And it's really portrayed as being a really terrible thing, which it is. But there's never any lightness made of that at all. It's
Let me give you another example there. Have you seen the movie The Omen?
No.
It's not a very good movie, any of the versions of it. But
years ago.
It's about a little kid whose name is Damien. And Damien, by the way, if you look up the meaning of the name, is like demon or of the devil or whatever. But a little kid named Damien, who's apparently supposed to be like the Antichrist or something. He's this little kid who is evil incarnate, is doing horrible things, is going to bring about the destruction of the world. But I knew throughout the entire movie the kid was never going to die. I knew it was going to end on a cliffhanger for one reason. In Hollywood, violence against children is a big no-no.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. You can take a man who's completely innocent, but for the crime of being 25, he can die.
That's because moms don't pudding when a 25-year-old man gets killed.
But if there you have a kid who's the incarnate devil, you can't, because he's under 18. Yeah. And it's like, that's another one that's always kind of befuddled me, that we can kill the elderly, we can kill the middle-aged, you can kill anyone, race, gender, morality, doesn't matter.
I don't know.
But don't
Anakin
you touch a kid.
Killed all those kids.
Yeah, but no, they didn't show any of it. They just described
it. They weren't kids. They showed younglings.
They showed countless people being...
You're going to make me vomit right here, aren't you,
Jim? Why would you say younglings? What's wrong with kids? Maybe this is the rule. Anyway, you're saying, Jim?
No, it's just...
Yeah. Well, and you know, I have to say, again, all these different gaming groups with all these different people playing all these different kind of games I've played over the years, I have seen... groups and in PC, I've seen PCs, other players, and myself murder people, steal from people, gratuitous torture scenes. But on all these years, I have never seen the PCs rape anyone, and I don't think I've ever seen PCs kill any kids.
I second that, and I don't think that many people are going to say that they have.
I think that there's probably some groups out there have.
Sure.
But,
Yeah.
Well, I've seen some role players, quote-unquote, who really get into some of that, but that's not what we talk about or do.
Right, yeah.
Because then it requires them to stand up at the table. You know, in regards to, you know, all of that kind of stuff, I think that, and this kind of goes back to part of the original thing, is that when you have your five or six people sit down at the table, regardless of what the genre is or what the time period of the game might be, is they all approach it from that current 21st Western sense of morality. So things that we personally wouldn't do aren't done in that game, even if it would be acceptable in that particular time period. The way women were treated back in medieval times. You don't even see that. You wouldn't see that necessarily in a game today. In fact, even a lot of role-playing games go out of the way to write gender
equity. Go as far in the opposite direction as they can.
Well, they write gender equity into the rules, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it historically wouldn't be accurate.
Have you ever seen or played in a published role-playing game, not something that somebody has just fudged the rules on or wrote themselves, where they have actually correctly portrayed gender bias?
Not really. I know that I have tried to do that, where, you know, to a certain degree in some games, maybe not necessarily, you know, gender correctness for the time period, but more trying to really play up certain aspects of some of the cultural things. You know, for example, in Shadowrun is a pretty good example.
I was just thinking of that.
Yeah, because they use all the metatypes of orcs and trolls to, you know, deal with the issue of racism. And that, you know, that particular issue in some sessions I played in, yeah, we did, you know, go after that and did treat them how the game essentially wanted humans and elves to treat them.
I even remember reading a Shadowrun book, there was even some hand waving about racism, where they said that after the Awakening and everyone started turning into elves and dwarves and orcs, they even said that it wasn't about black and white anymore. It was about human or not human.
That's exactly.
I don't know. I mean, that's a cool statement and all, and I understand why they did in Shadowrun and stuff, but I don't know if that would actually be true or not.
Well, I don't know if it would happen or either, but I think it's a little bit beside the point. I mean, do we really want to depict prejudice, bias, and hate in these games?
Yeah.
If we're going for straight history gaming and we go back far enough, yeah. But other than that,
I would put forth that, yes, you do. And only from the argument that by doing so, you are creating opportunities for really good role-playing. And going back to what we were talking about earlier with the character explorations, you know, if you have racism, mm-hmm. or sexism as an element in your game, you can really get some good role-playing mileage out of that and have a really good time. And in a certain way, on a personal level with your group of five, group of six, you can explore that and maybe even do some personal educating on how you maybe feel in regards to that issue. So I think that it can be, in a certain way, a very useful teaching tool.
Yeah. What if you're playing a Civil War or a game?
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah.
If you're playing hard history, you got to do it. But I don't know. You really don't see a lot of fantasy universes with institutionalized hate.
You know, I remember when I used to play the Shadowrun Mush or Muse or whatever it was called.
It was Mush.
Mush is the text-based role-playing game on early internet and stuff. And it was all Shadowrun. And I remember that everyone was bitching that there wasn't enough racism in the game. And that, you know, the humans and the orcs and the dwarves and the elves, everybody got along and everybody was happy and did everything together. And there's no racism.
This nice, enlightened mid-90s college culture was the norm for this
because
downtown
that's the people
slum.
Who were playing.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was a bunch of mid-90s enlightened pseudo-intellectual college kids. And that's what suddenly the slums of Seattle started to look like.
And they said they wanted to try to have more people playing racist. And so I got on there and I said, okay, I tell you what. I was playing a human character, and I'm like, I am going to play a racist. I didn't start the game playing that, but I'm like, I changed my character a little bit, and I'm like, I'm going to start trying to play a racist, you know, against metahumans.
Yeah, the Humanus Polis Club.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. And I started, you know, glaring at metahumans. When they walked into bars, I was glaring at them, and I was doing this, and I was saying bad things about them, and doing all this, that, and the other. And people were saying, "Tell, like, what in the hell are you doing? You're doing these horrible things." And people really had trouble with that. And it wasn't even racism against, you know, black people or Hispanic people or Asian people. It was racism against a green orc, you know, and people really had trouble with that because, you know,
they took it too much back to their current cultural values and
or they associated themselves with the character, which we all
do. Or
they
looked at racism and they saw that. I mean, let's admit it. Racism's a really horrible thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the argument that I'm coming from.
Yeah.
I don't really want the child raping, racist, misogynist screw over game.
But I guess taking this all the way back to the start, isn't murder the worst thing?
Would
you rather be called a racist? I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not minimalizing any of these crimes. They're all terrible things. But if I had to choose between being discriminated against and being killed, you know, I know which one I would pick.
Well,
and that's what I find fascinating is that is that how if I sat into a role playing game and started doing what are admittedly very horrible things.
I think that I could find within a given setting a just and righteous reason to kill another person. I cannot find a just and righteous reason to be a racist.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I mean, outside of some weird...
Or rape someone, yeah, or torture someone.
Right, and I agree with you. I agree with you. And, but once again, going back to the start of this episode, you know, what we're not always talking about killing for a righteous cause.
Exactly.
Or killing for the right reasons. A lot of times we're talking about killing out of frustration killing or inconvenience.
Killing for high adventure.
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm playing a Conan game, the less reason I have to kill somebody and still kill them, the better the game is.
Yeah.
Because it's Conan!
Exactly. Wow.
We set out to make an episode that was very different than the previous one. We succeeded at that.
This has probably been the most downbeat episode of Fear the Boot that I've sat
for. It's just rape, racism, and murder.
Yeah.
With a little bit of torture.
Yeah, but it's a good exercise in what we, you know, this is what we tell. These are the things we need to talk
relevant
about.
Relevant to role playing. We certainly haven't covered it.
Absolutely.
So, thank you guys for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.
Now I got to go get some cat ears.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2008, fully owned by its hosts. Our theme song was written and performed by Tim White. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com.